Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dana Perino, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Harold Ford Jr., Jesse Waters, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. Total eclipse mania sweeps America. Millions across the country putting on these clunky paper sunglasses and looking up as the afternoon light plunged into darkness. I have some glasses right here. Millions traveling from all over the world to be in the direct path, shelling out up to thousands of dollars just to snag a hotel room. Not one Airbnb available in the path of totality. Traffic jams, they were everywhere. Highway signs warning drivers to not pull over and look at the sun. Schools even closed early. And if you missed it, your next chance is in 2044 when Jesse Jr. turns 23. So we got our little glasses here. These were approved. And you can, let's see, do you want to put them on? Let's see. They're really dark, I have to say.
Let's see.
So, Harold Ford Jr., how was your experience today?
First of all, good to be back. I heard the chief of police in Buffalo, upstate New York, say that when people leave this thing, it was going to be like 10 Super Bowls letting out at one time. It was fine. I was with my kids, which was great, because it didn't get as dark here as I thought it was going to get.
Really did right.
So I was prepared for... Now, I got to tell you, what was most remarkable was putting these glasses on and looking at the sun. Mm-hmm. You could see the... And what you realize is the sun is... You learn in school it's powerful, but you learn today how powerful it was, because it didn't look like that much sun was there, but it was still pretty lit, and there was cloud coverage. Mm-hmm. So, but my kids enjoyed it. We were with... I was with my daughter, Georgia, my son, half my wife, and another family from... our school, my kids' best friends, and we all had a great
time. Did you have special snacks?
Pizza.
Okay, that's a good snack.
Pizza. We would have invited Jesse Jr. if he could.
Did Gus go crazy?
No, I wasn't there. In my opinion, this is worse than January 6th. I think it's offensive how Fox has covered this eclipse, because what about the people who can't see it? And I'm not just talking about blind people, though I am in a way, but the millions suffering from climate insecurity, mm-hmm. what about them? The people suffering from gender confusion, it's systemic, astronomical racism. Forget about the word black holes. There are celestial nicknames that are still being used, like Siamese twin galaxies and Eskimo nebulas. This is offensive. And I haven't even touched on the equity problem here. I boycotted the eclipse because there is no equity and how people were able to view this. Some people could go on a roof. Other people had to stay on the street. I find that disgusting. But then I thought about it for a while, and I thought, you know what? The eclipse, the reason why everybody hates the eclipse, and let's be honest, we all hated it. It was stupid. It's the opposite of an earthquake. You cannot help but be disappointed by an eclipse with every anchor acting like they're having like a massive out-of-body experience. But an earthquake never disappoints you because it just shows up. It shows up. You're like, holy crap, this is an earthquake. So what is this moral for you? The moral is, as a human being, don't be an eclipse, be an earthquake. Don't build yourself up over and over and over again because you just disappoint. Instead, you show up and you surprise and you impress people. That's the lesson you learn from an eclipse. An eclipse, though, is like an earthquake in one sense. It allows you to strike up a conversation with strangers. For example, after the eclipse, I was walking out 6th Avenue and this woman was approaching me. I'd say she's a 10, but that's objectifying. So she's like an 8. Anyway. I just go up to her and I say, wow, that was incredible. And she just looked into my eyes and she goes, yeah, I guess it was. And I go, Donald Trump's fundraiser was amazing. Did you see how much money he raised?
And then she was like, wow. Yeah. You're
she
so
walked
cool.
on by.
Yes.
Do you know, one of your favorite topics is the media.
Mm.
And we have a montage that I would like to toss to now. Here you go.
This is really an exciting moment that so many people have been waiting for, and you can feel it in the air as we are nearing totality, you guys. Oh, my goodness.
Look at that. Woo! Yes!
I feel like it is our final turn here to descend and slide into the darkest and the totality of all of this.
Not to sound nerdy here, but it looks like it's almost like the ring from Lord of the Rings. It's awesome.
The wedding that just finished, a wedding in totality. This couple wanted this to be their event.
This is a total
solar
I don't know. It's a whole thing.
The moon will be going in front of the sun. Boris Sanchez in this point. And that's a partial. I think we've got a full eclipse there.
This is my first time that I've seen one.
Did it line up with your expectation?
Well, not really.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Jesse, what are you going to do tonight for the eclipse?
Tonight? Oh, I have big plans, Dana.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm with Greg. I think the eclipse kind of got gypped by the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel. I mean, I actually felt something. We pulled over, tried to look at it, didn't see much, and I was a little disappointed. But
so you did what the police told you not to do?
Yeah, I stared at it, and then now I can't see anything. And it's obvious that the natural order of the universe has been disrupted. The ancient Chinese, Dana, believed that a dragon was devouring the sun. And so during the eclipse, they would bang drums and create a ruckus in order to have it leave. Now, in Hindu mythology, it was believed that a cunning demon disguised himself in women's clothes and then went to a banquet to try to drink the nectar of the gods, was caught, and then beheaded. And then his decapitated head is what you see crossing the night sky and into the sun. The Incas, on the other hand, you know, they worshiped the sun, and they believed it was God's wrath. They
what about the Vikings? Did you get into that one?
We're getting there.
Okay.
And so they had to figure out why God was angry. And so they'd do that, and then they'd offer sacrifices, sometimes human sacrifices, in order to appease the gods. Native Americans, certain tribes, believed that there was a dwarf who was burned by the sun in order to get revenge, had to snare the sun in a trap, and only a mouse could nibble away at the ropes to release the sun from its orbit.
You're good.
So that was wonderful.
The Vikings? You got the Vikings?
I don't have anything on the Vikings.
They thought the sun was the fox and the moon was the rabbit, and then every once in a while the fox would catch the rabbit.
Correct.
And now you have it, Judge. I do want to show you one thing. President Trump got in on the act with an ad here. Watch here.
Amazing.
And that gave you some humor.
You know, you have to give him credit. He is such an entertainer. He really is. I have to tell you, the thing that I come away with is that I didn't think it was that dramatic, traumatic, anything. I thought it would get darker, to be honest with you. I wore the glasses, and then at one point I took them off and I looked up for a second, and you're not supposed to, but whatever. I like the fact that it kind of brought us all together.
I agree.
As a humanity, you know, we all shared this common thing together. And I love that there was an economic boon, a boom that was connected to it, that people were traveling, that they were buying the gear and the paraphernalia, and, you know, for that 4 minutes and 28 seconds, whatever it was, that we were all so fascinated together and recognizing that we were all part of the same human body on Earth. And so I called home to see how the dogs were doing, all four of them. And I said, I don't want them outside because I don't want them looking at the sun, as I looked at the sun. And I said, are they acting funny? Is there anything unusual? And they said, No, not
at
all.
They're comfortable.
So I just thought it was interesting, but it didn't freak me out.
Hey, so let's do it all again in 2044.
One final, can I just raise a question for everybody to think about? Isn't it interesting that the entire news industry can stop for a day to focus on something like this? What does that tell you about how the news is made?
That's a good riddle. I'm going to work on that in the commercial break.
That they can stop it and start it whenever they want.
Ain't that the truth?
Okay, we're going to move on from the solar eclipse. The pro-Hamas crowd now chanting death to America on American soil.
This program is brought to you by Inspire.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sleep.
Another shocking low for Joe Biden's America. The pro-Hamas crowd apparently feels emboldened enough to chant death to America while holding a rally in Dearborn, Michigan.
El monte America!
El monte America!
El monte America!
El monte America!
The anti-Israel agitators also hitting up Joe Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home, where he spent the weekend. But it looks like the left's pressure campaign's working. Biden's been caving and issuing harsher public criticism of Israel's war on Hamas 6 months since the terror attack. Democrats are also going soft on Hamas.
The president initially said he was rock solid in support of Israel's efforts here. Have the protesters won at the White House?
No, I think this is a tactical disagreement that began with Prime Minister Netanyahu insisting he would go into Rafah. What I believe President Biden has been saying directly to Prime Minister Netanyahu is before you go in at scale and try to finish the job against Hamas, make sure that you allow for humanitarian aid and for those civilians trapped in Rafah to move out of the way before you conduct this last stage of the ground campaign.
Dana, what is Joe Biden's strategy with regards to Israel right now?
I don't know actually who started this, so I don't know who to credit, but it was that Biden has a new two-state solution.
Yeah.
Michigan and Nevada. And one of the things that's happening, especially in Michigan, is that you have him worried that if he doesn't win Michigan, he's not going to win the election. And you have a certain percentage in Michigan who are saying, we're not going to be excited about Joe Biden. Doesn't mean they're going to vote for Trump, but they might just stay home. In the meantime, though, there are a lot of Jewish Americans who live in Pennsylvania. So I can't figure out the political strategy. I also can't figure out the principle. What is the principled stand? Why don't we all know all the names of the Americans who are being held in Israel? They don't talk about them. There's no posters. There's no prop that says we want this person released now. There's no pressure put on Hamas to say this. Everything would end in 5 minutes if you release the hostages. So that is a confusing thing to me. But I also wanted to mention this. I think it's chilling to listen to these folks in Dearborn talk death to America. Okay. And it reminded me of something, and I just wanted to look it up. And you'll remember after January 6th, Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, and Joe Biden, they were very concerned about right-wing extremism in the military. And they spent almost $1 million on an investigation to find out how many people were in the military were sympathetic to what they would call insurrectionists. And then on January 2nd of 2024, all these years later, and I hardly ever got a mention, Greg did a monologue on it, though, DOD report finds no evidence of disproportionate extremism within the military. But they'll spend $1 million on an investigation that was ridiculous, but you don't hear them say anything about this.
Judge Jeanine, are those chants, death to America in Michigan, is that actionable? Can the FBI go in and start an investigation?
Well, the FBI can investigate anyone they want. We know they investigated parents of kids in school. They investigate the Catholic Church. But no, I mean, it's free speech. But it seems to me if you're going to chant death to America, death to Israel, you know, but death to America seems to me you've chosen a side. Why not act on it? If you don't like America, why not act on your hatred for America? But look, this isn't just protesting. I mean, this protest movement, allegedly for the Palestinians, is not a humanitarian movement. It is an eliminationist movement. And by that, I mean, it is a movement to destroy Israel. It is from the river to the sea. And they don't want a two-state solution. And I love the idea of a two-state being Michigan and Pennsylvania. I heard Michigan and Minnesota. But they don't want a two-state solution. They want a one-state solution. They want all of Israel gone. Okay? And we seem to forget that it was Hamas that started this. It was Hamas that killed 31 Americans. It is Hamas that has over 250 hostages, including five Americans. And now all of a sudden, Joe Biden is gung-ho from the get-go, and now he's slowing down, obviously because of the politics of it all. And it is amazing that no Arab country would stand up and say, I will take these refugees. And the reason that they want, they don't want Netanyahu to go into southern Gaza is because there are a million civilians, allegedly just civilians, at the Rafah gate, right at the border of Egypt. Egypt and El-Sisi won't take them. Jordan doesn't want them. Syria doesn't want them. Lebanon doesn't want them. Now, that makes no sense to me. They're Arabs, too. So what is it about these people? I'll tell you what it is. What it is the fact that Hamas is integrated into the civilians. And that's why there's still one brigade, thousands of, I think about 1,000 Israeli troops still there, because they are making sure that they are in a position to react. And this excuse that, well, we're trying to work in the humanitarian aid. Think about it, Jesse. In what war have you ever seen one side at war being required to provide food, humanitarian aid, and medical care to the other side to stop the war so that we could go in and take care of them? Well, we can't tell the difference between the civilian and Hamas. And, you know, when we and the Allied forces bombed Germany and killed hundreds of thousands of Germans, we didn't say, oh, my God, they're civilians. No, war is war. It is hell. And all of a sudden, these people who want death to America, all of a sudden, they are the ones who are trying, who are pulling back Joe Biden, which is nothing more than music to the ears of Hamas and Iran.
Harold Ford Jr.
So when I think about these things, and I hear everything that the judge said, and I don't necessarily disagree with a lot of it, but I think about it the way General Powell, the late General Powell, Secretary Powell talked about the Powell Doctrine. Secretary Powell's birthday was just April 5th. He talked about the risk and the interest, American interest, as a part of that dialogue. Then the third, last three pieces dealt with, is there a plausible exit strategy? Is there broad American support or American people support for what we're doing? And do we have broad international support? And I think for a lot of the things, a lot of the reasons that the judge mentioned are the reasons that I support Israel's efforts and have unequivocally and unconditionally since October 7th or since the afternoon of October 7th. But we find ourselves now in this weird spot because I think one of the frustrations on the part of the administration has been that they believe that there's been some real movement or an agreement to release the hostages. Hamas has wanted so many criminals in jail in Israel, prisoners in jail in Israel to be released for the hostages. And to Dana's point, us knowing the names of the American hostages could be very useful to help one or two of these questions, if not a lot of these questions asked by the Powell Doctrine. And I think that the growing frustration for the administration is that they have seen a rift with them and Netanyahu just grow bigger and bigger. And some are conflating that with support for Israel. And then you have this craziness in Michigan. I disagree with you, Judge. I hope they find it actionable. We have found ways to investigate people in the country. They should find ways to investigate anybody that would yell death to America 8 times at a rally in which the whole premise seems to be against American foreign policy. There should be some looking into it. We're going to look at people who go to school board meetings, and I thought rightly so, for acting out against elected officials. We should be doing the same at this right here. Finally, this is... I never thought at 53 years old, 26 years old being elected, that we would find ourselves at a moment where U.S. foreign policy and Israeli foreign policy was not aligned when it came to securing Israel. We've got to find our way back to a much better spot than we're in. And one of the ways to do it is to ensure that this death to America thing does not continue and that we have a very honest conversation with the American people about our interest, the exit strategy, and what we do to secure and why Israel's security is so important to our own.
Before we get to Greg, I just want to say you look great for 53.
Thank you. By the way, congratulations on your number one.
Thank you very much, Harold.
I disagree.
He does not look great.
I look great.
You look great, too. We all look great.
Yeah. It took us a long time to move on, and I use that phrase probably loosely, to move on from 9/11. Like, we remembered it every single day, every single day. We built and we did everything. 6 months since October 7th, and history is already history. There are people that are already denying what went on. It has gotten in many minds smaller and smaller, and the respect for what Israel is doing is getting smaller, but it's not Israel's fault, right? Your respect for what Israel does is related to the legacy of the Holocaust. If you actually believed that since the Holocaust, Israel has a right to defend itself, then this is the moment to prove it. This is the moment. If everything you said about Israel in the past, that they have a right to defend, and now you're criticizing them, then nothing you said was worth it. Because it's supposed to matter now. It's not supposed to matter in skirmishes or when there's some kind of political beef or an election. It's about when it actually comes, which it did on October 7th. And if all of a sudden you're saying, whoa, hey, you know what? You guys should slow down, a little humanitarian stuff there, then you are not respecting the legacy of the Holocaust, because this is where it counts. You know, and I get the impression, you know, with the Death to America stuff, that we are on a slow roll toward our own little Gazas, these little islands of unrest in the country. These were places that were sacrificed to leftisms, where laws were discarded, identity and division became the currency. You know, look at Minneapolis since George Floyd. It's never been the same. Right. There are all these enclaves. We were supposed to be a melting pot, but that requires melting. And instead, what we're seeing in these areas is a hardening. It's a hardening. And we're always accused of xenophobia if we exalt our country's awesomeness or make fun of another country's customs. Fair enough. I get it. But it's a two-way street. If you come here and you reject assimilation, free speech, cooperation with people different than you, those are our values. And if you reject them, you are xenophobic and you are anti-American. It's not illegal, I guess, but why are we respecting it and why are we encouraging it? You know, leftism encourages this sort of behavior. It is time for the adults to enter the room and basically change the conversation, or these cities are gone.
Amen.
Ooh. That was powerful, Greg.
Well, oh, why, thank you.
Very powerful. I need to use these when I look at you.
Coming up, is Joe Biden cooking the books on the so-called drop in crime? Right back. So slow down, take a moment now. We're too
young to know. Deep and dirty. A good...
Looks like Joe Biden has been caught cooking the books on America's crime crisis. Dems in the media hyping crime stats from the Bureau, which show that murder and violent crime are down.
Last year, the United States had one of the lowest rates of all violent crime, of all violent crimes, in more than 50 years.
I mean, I just debunk some of the things Trump is pushing about crime. He says crime is worse than ever, when in most places in the U.S. is actually going down.
The truth is that violent crime skyrocketed under Donald Trump's presidency. Crime has fallen under Joe Biden's presidency.
Crime rates keep dropping. Crime, in fact, the rate is lower now than when Donald Trump was in office.
I can safely walk my dog to the Capitol today in a way that you couldn't do when we all got here.
Right. But the Washington Examiner crunching the numbers, finally someone did it, and it's a bunch of BS. The FBI has been using a complicated, faulty new system, which major cities have been struggling to comply with. The feds then forced to start estimating crime stats and thus undercounting total offenses. All right, Harold, I got to go to you because you were one of the people that you're very sensible. You're like an old school Democrat about crime. And I could tell you were struggling with this when you were talking about the data.
I agree with you.
But remember, the data that they were pushing didn't match our eyeballs. Right. We knew that the decarceration, the defunding, the politicalization of the Justice Department, all this stuff was destroying us. But they were telling us no. They were gaslighting us.
Well, I don't know. The politicization of the Justice Department, I'm not quite where you guys are.
Criminal justice, I should have said.
But with that, I agree. Where I am is... We've said on the show, if you feel unsafe, no number of stats are going to tell you you're not. You said something also, Judge, when Secretary Buttigieg, I would assume that the secretary has security when he's out walking his dog. So I would feel comfortable and safe if I were him, too. A couple things. We've said on the show, for the life of me, I don't understand why Vice President Harris, whom I have a great deal of respect for and like. You're one of the great prosecutors this country ever had. Why you wouldn't go around the country, gather up all the great practices around the country, and whether it's reducing homicides, whether it's reducing assaults, whether it's reducing thefts, whether it's reducing gun violence. Dallas, you did a great thing on the Dallas police chief, Dan, on, you and Bill did a few months back, talking about how the morale of the police is up there. The crime numbers are down. And I think the mayor even switched. He was a Democrat, switched to be a Republican. These are the kinds of things, not that you want people switching from Democrat or Republican, but let's give us the best practices and let's figure out how we adopt these around the country. And something I think we all fully agree on, cashless bail is not working. It hasn't worked. If you arrest someone for a violent crime, you can't let them back out 10 minutes later. We've seen unbelievably disgusting statistics, unfixable statistics here in New York, where we understand that a small number of people are committing the majority of the crimes over and over and over again. There seems to be a fix to this. Keep people in jail. There's nothing wrong with spending more money on police officers. There's nothing wrong with spending more money on giving police officers the equipment they need, as well as investing in the kinds of things in communities to help get people to not commit crimes. But when people commit a crime, they need to be arrested. When people commit a violent crime, they shouldn't get out on their own recognizance or because a group of legislators thinks it might be the right thing to do. Mm. People in New York ought to unelect these people. We ought to do it all across the country. And we ought to change these laws.
Can we just get a still of Jen Psaki with that in that interview there? Yeah. Never do an interview when you're on the toilet.
Yeah, it's a good look. You know?
I mean, it's not a good look. Okay. So, hey, Dana.
Yeah.
Okay. The failure of this in this article, they said there's a rising share of victims no longer reporting crimes, right, probably because they feel like no one's going to do anything.
Point. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, what's the point? And Peter's been talking about this in Britain for a long time, that like if you had a robbery in your house or your car got broken into, you call the police and they'll say, yeah, just like write a full report for your insurance. They don't send anybody. But remember the story we did last week? Mm-hmm. They will definitely send police to your house if you get reported for doing some sort of like hate speech in a meme on Instagram over there. Also, I go back to this, learned this from George W. Bush, that you cannot fix a problem that you don't measure properly. Mm. And that was in regards to education. And that's how you ended up with the No Child Left Behind Act. The government has their head in the sand when it comes to crime. Which Harold, when you said that if you feel unsafe, I mean, how many people that you talk to anywhere, I know, Judge, I think you traveled this weekend, people ask, are you okay? Do you feel okay there? And so, yes, people are aware of it everywhere. Failure to report is a decrease in crime, but let's also talk about how the Biden administration, by doing this, is hurting these police chiefs and if you look at that, almost all of them have been people of color.
Mm-hmm.
You have women, how many women police chiefs have resigned,
right,
because they will not get help or support from the prosecutors or from an administration who says we're going to do something about it?
It's a great point. And Judge, so the Washington Examiner did this. We've been talking about this. They were the first person to do the work because they were the only people that weren't scared of upsetting a narrative. Think about all those other reporters out there who saw what we saw, but like were like, you know what? We'll go with the data.
Yeah, the data deniers like Kathy Hochul, who told us we were all crazy, that there was no crime in the subways and that the crime is a figment of our imagination. Jen Psaki, who actually said when we were on Fox, she pointed to it and said, what are they talking about? Why are they so focused on crime? Look, this administration and the whole point of this block is that the FBI is underreporting the number of crimes in this country. Why? Because the Democrats want power. That is the ultimate game here. Here's the problem. They say the economy is great under Bidenomics. We know it's not. We know what eggs cost. We know what meat costs. We know how much more it costs to live every year. You don't need to be a genius. But what you have to realize now is that when Milwaukee, in their own local report, says that robberies have gone up 7%, but the FBI reports that robberies have gone down 13% in Milwaukee, somebody's lying, okay? And in 63% of the departments in this country are reporting less crime. Why? Because the FBI has created new onerous crime stats that take hours to analyze every crime. It's like the New York City Council has just passed a law saying, we want the police to do more paperwork every time they have an interaction with a human being, which provides for less police defense on the street. Mm-hmm. They are liars, and it's political. But the bottom line is, you cannot function in a society where you don't have enough police, where there isn't enough 911 response time. We are not safe. And, you know, everybody agrees, you know, what Harold is saying. We need to get rid of cashless bail. We need to put criminals in jail. But until we are in a situation where that stuff is eliminated, and until we have politicians who are willing to do that, and I, with all due respect, Harold, I don't think Kamala Harris was a great prosecutor. I think she was a horrible prosecutor. I think she laughed at the number of people that she put in jail for marijuana, and she took a few tokes herself laughing at the people that she incarcerated. So let's not make her some queen that she isn't. And Kamala fighting crime, she is the one who was putting money into getting out the 2020 bail criminals who committed violent crimes and getting them bailed out of jail. She's as much a prosecutor as I am a defense attorney.
You want to see what she said about you?
I could care less. You know what? Let's have at it. I have no problem going at it.
All right, Jesse. So if you look at job reports, COVID, immigration, prices, all data is junk.
Greg, it's Enron-style reporting across the board everywhere. Look at the administration's flying in migrants from Venezuela to keep the border crossing numbers down. Mm-hmm. Every time you look at a jobs report, you're like, oh, wait, next month they revised it down. Oh, it's all part-time jobs. Oh, it's all migrant jobs. Mm-hmm. It's a mirage. And then inflation, they say it's going down. Prices are still going up, mm-hmm. just at a slower level. And so this is really information warfare. And as you said, the media should be reporting this instead of just repeating the propaganda from the state. And then you have a crime-riddled, divided, and distrustful society that doesn't believe the politicians, the media, or the FBI. And then they wonder why there's populism on the march.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Jesse.
Yes,
let's march later. All right. Put on your glasses. All right. Coming up, we've reached Trump derangement totality. There's that word again. An ABC star letting the Hitler comparisons fly.
Bring back the shame.
So what's the code?
This woman has a serious case of Trump derangement syndrome. One of the stars of the hit ABC sitcom Black-ish flying into an unhinged rant on how the ex-president is Hitler and will put black people in camps if he's reelected.
He will punish everybody that didn't vote for him. Let me tell y'all how I know this shit. I know it because I know what mental illness looks like.
Mm.
That mania is unstoppable.
This m- is Hitler. He didn't come to play.
Okay, she knows what mental illness looks like. I think I just saw it. You know, the amazing part of this, Jesse, is that what she does is she says he's going to put blacks in camps. He's Hitler. He didn't come to play. And the man was president for 4 years. If anything, the past predicts the future. Where is she getting this from?
They're all becoming mentally ill, Judge, and here's why. You now have these prosecutions not working. $25 million Joe raised right across the street. Donald Trump just doubled it in Palm Beach over the weekend. He just took home, I think, on paper, about $3 billion in stock. And he just announced this morning that he does not want a federal abortion ban. And he's up in every single battleground state.
Yep.
These are really important things that are happening right now. They're all going in Trump's direction. And all the hoaxes that they've been pushing, dictator on day one, all this stuff. He calls them animals, migrants. None of it's working. They get exposed in 30 seconds. So they're in deep trouble.
You know, Harold, in 2016, Donald Trump was supported 8% blacks, 2020, 12%. And today, 23% of the blacks support him. What's she talking about?
The blacks. I think she is. Look, everybody has a strong theory of the case. My theory is a little different than hers. I'm not for President Trump, but I wouldn't go there. If you've ever watched her on the show Black-ish, she's pretty funny, and she's dealt with mental health issues in the past, which is where I think that.
You mean her own?
Her own, yes. I think that's where maybe some of.
No,
I know. I know you didn't.
I didn't.
Who cares?
No, but she. But that's where I think she. Now you can agree with her or not, but that's where she was coming from. I think that. I've said before, there's so many things if you are in opposition to Donald Trump, you've got to get to the issues and you've got to get to what our candidate is going to do better for the communities that we want to support us. When you look at the polling data, which you rightly point out, all of us have pointed out, where President Biden is running behind in 5-6 of the key battleground states, you got to look at the issues that are causing that to happen. If you believe, I thought what the President Trump did on abortion today or yesterday was absolutely confusing, and I think Democrats will use that. If you want to go after him on issues, go after him on issues. But I think the personalization, the personalizing of this is not necessary. I give Jennifer Lewis the benefit of the doubt because she's an actress. But politicians, people who are assigned to deal with the seriousness of campaigns, talk about Ukraine, talk about Russia, talk about abortion, talk about the issues that animate a campaign.
One of the things that she says, Greg, is that, you know, the whites and the rich people are doing everything they can to stay in the gated communities and not pay taxes. And yet 1% of the wage earners pay like 46% of the taxes.
I think we're falling into a trap of debating somebody that is unwell. Mm-hmm. This is like talking to a homeless guy in the park about politics. It's on you if you engage. You know, she's stupidish. but this is helpful because you just know, like, when people start comparing people to Hitler, all bets are off. That's why it's like, she had a mental illness past. I don't care.
I wasn't justifying it. I wasn't saying, when she said the mental health stuff is all I was saying.
But the thing is, I mean, it's like, it helps everybody else know that we should avoid you, right? It's like you're basically putting a sign on saying, I'm a vapid, ideologically captured, anti-intellectual dope. It's like saying I put avocados up my butt. That's how moronic and insane it is. When somebody goes like, he's Hitler. I mean, it's not a good look. It's sad, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't go with the red glasses. Go ahead, Dana.
Don't you think that President Trump could just run a sizzle reel of all the people in Hollywood who say he's Hitler, and it would probably help him just like the Eclipse ad, right? Just like put it out there, put the MSNBC historians out there saying that he's going to be a dictator for life, and you'd probably capture most of the electorate who would say, yeah, they're ridiculous.
Okay. All right. The bad boy of country is in some big trouble. We'll tell you what superstar Morgan Wallen did that got himself arrested.
File 100% free with.
There we go. Last night, he let the liquor talk. Country superstar Morgan Wallen getting arrested on 3 felony charges after launching a chair off the rooftop of a 6-story bar in Nashville. Police officers say the chair landed near a couple of police officers. TMZ getting this photo of when the arrest happened. Wallen getting slapped with reckless endangerment charges and 1 disorderly conduct charge. Your Honor, in light of this, was this the right set of charges based on what little we know right now?
Well, I assume it is. When you endanger police, you generally get charged with the right crime. It's not the first time he's been in trouble with the law. He's got a problem. He was drinking here, and I believe he was drinking last time. It's about time he had some people help him out with a problem, or he's going to throw away a fabulous career.
Prime time?
Well, he has a long way to go to reach the Hall of Fame when it comes to rock star misbehavior. I mean, he didn't cross-dress and pee on the Alamo like Ozzy.
Hey.
He didn't start a riot at a concert like Axl Rose. He didn't get arrested at JFK for impersonating an officer and having crack rocks all over the car like DMX. What about Keith Moon? Keith Moon got buck naked and drove his Cutlass Supreme into a swimming pool of a hotel. That's the kind of action you want to see from a rock star. Throwing a chair. Come on. The guitarist for REM ended up pouring yogurt all over himself on a flight and put a stewardess in a chokehold with his necktie after 15 glasses of wine. He's got a long way to go, and I'm sure he'll get there.
DP?
I would say he's very fortunate that it didn't hit somebody and hurt them more seriously, because then the charges would have been a lot.
That's
higher.
What I meant to say.
I hope so.
Exclamation point, bring it home.
It was just pure timing. It could have been an attempted murder. It could have been a manslaughter.
Absolutely.
Kids throw things out of windows and they hit people. So there's a difference. You know, people think they're a functional drunk. You're a lucky drunk. He is a very lucky drunk that he didn't hurt anybody. But people, when they don't hurt anybody, tend to forget how close it was, and they're back to doing the same thing.
Can I just say this? You've been incredible today with these comments.
Yes.
Thank you.
One more thing is up next.
Hitting on me.
I know this might seem out of the blue, but I was...
Time now for one more thing from me. Two plugs. First of all, our friend Dr. Nicole Sapphire out with a new book Tuesday, April 16th, and it's available now for pre-orders. It's called Love Mom, and it's a Mother's Day gift for anyone looking to get ahead of shopping. You can pick that up, pre-order it April 16th, it comes out. And I have my politics podcast out today with a good friend of mine, Don Stewart. Those of you from The Hill will remember him,
good
Greg.
Dude. Good dude.
All right, tonight, what a show. Walter Kern, the great writer. Brian Kilmeade, I'm sorry. That's to the viewers. Tyler Fisher, amazing comedian. And, of course, the great Cat Tip. That's tonight at 10 p.m.
Can't wait. Jesse.
TBD podcast. Patrick Beck David, I was over on that this weekend. There you are. You can go check that out on YouTube,
you
Spotify, Apple.
I watched it.
You did?
Yep.
Well, that's a great weekend for you then, Greg. Tonight, Jesse Waters primetime. Trump is the solar eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
Congrats on being number one. I said it earlier.
Thank you very much.
Yes, but so happy.
He feels guilty.
Judge, you want to go?
No, I'll wait until tomorrow.
Harold, do you want to go?
I do not. It's going to be a great game tonight. Who you
so,
got?
Oh,
who
yeah.
I'm watching Fox. Yes. I don't know what you're
Who's
doing,
playing?
Harold.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. All right, that's it for us, everybody. Have a great night.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.